Who am I really? That's a question I want each one of us to consider this morning. And I don't know, how many of you have had a chance to read the scripture text for today? If not, that's good and it's bad. But the scripture text is going to reveal who we really are. And so I want to just ask you a couple of questions. Is who you are, is it that beautiful face that when you get out of bed and you walk in the bathroom for the first time during the day and it looks back at you in the mirror? Is that who you are? I hope not. Because, you know, it takes a little while to improve on that first look that we get every day of our lives. But is that who I really am? Am I the sum and total of that face I see in the mirror? Or am I the person, or am I completely the person that I like, of the things that I like to do? Like, you know, Doug over here, he likes to fish, and he's good at it. And Randy here, he likes to raise cattle, and John's got more tractors than you can shake a fist at. How many thousands of tractors have you sold, John? Thousands of them. You go by his place up there along the highway on Route 1. There's tractors and combines and big equipment. There's all kinds of stuff. Is that who John is? Is that who Doug is? You know, the other day I was out there at Kickapoo, and Doug was out in the boat, and Jim was walking out there, and Doug called him out there. And old Jim went running across the water, and it's been so hot there was blisters on his feet when he got there. Oh, you're right. He started out and he's had to swim the rest of the way. That's all right. Who are we really? Are we the genetic pool of our parents? Are we descendants of some great person in our family? Who are we really? And I don't know of any place in the world that really tells us who we are, except Jesus through the Apostle Paul. And Paul says these words, this is who we are as Christians. Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of God? The temple of God, that's who you are. And anybody that messes with the temple or destroys the temple, God will take them to task. Because the temple is who you are. I did some research on the temple out of the Bible, of course. And the first temple was a temple that was a tent. They called it the tabernacle. And there were certain things and certain requirements for the tabernacle, just like there was for Solomon's temple that we talked a little bit about the other day. But they got everything arranged perfectly as God had instructed. God gave explicit directions. Now keep in mind, you're the temple. And we're talking about the temple. And so there's a direct correlation here. God gave specific instructions for every stitch that was sewn together in the temple. It was precisely what God had commanded. And Moses was faithful, and at the end of the construction of the temple, Moses did an inspection and he found that everything was exactly as God had said. Now, in the construction of the temple, he didn't just go out and grab somebody off the street and say, hey, you're going to be a seamstress, you're going to be a woodworker. That's not how it worked. Moses found very talented and gifted people to construct this temple. Now remember, you're the temple. And this process that went through, that we see is adhered to in the building of the tabernacle, is the same process that God does for each one of us. Now there's something that was taken into the temple, and we're not told completely what was in this structure until we get to the book of Hebrews. But here's what was in the temple for sure. It was the stone tablets that God had filled out for Moses on the mountain. It was in the Ark of the Covenant. Hebrews tells us that not only was that in the Ark of the Covenant, but there was a golden jar of manna, which symbolized the journey, God's provision for his people. And remember, you're the temple. And this was going into the temple, God's provision for the Israelite children during their journey of disobedience through the wilderness. And there was the staff that budded. It was Aaron's staff that budded. Those were in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I want you to remember what was in the Ark of the Covenant, because it's important for us as the temple to understand what makes us spectacular. Okay, there was the stone tablets, which was the covenant with the people. And when everything was set and they were dedicating the temple, something extraordinary happened. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. And remember, you are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God, the dwelling place of God. And so as the glory of the Lord filled the temple, there was a dark cloud that was in the temple. And it says Moses couldn't continue to do his work because of the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And that glory stayed with the people over the tent. And as long as the cloud was above the temple, this dark cloud, the people stayed where they were. But when the cloud moved, then the people moved also and followed the cloud. Remember, you are the temple of God, and therefore you are filled with the glory of God, and his presence dwells and lives within you. Now we go to the other temple. The next temple that was built by King Solomon. Now Solomon was David's son, and David wanted to build the temple. He was not permitted to build the temple by God. But Solomon was, but David provided a lot of the materials for that temple. And they went through this same meticulous exercise of materials, explicitly how it was structured, and then all the articles and the utensils and everything that was used was purified. And remember, you are the temple of God. And after they had completed the temple and they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, which contained the Word of God, the stone tablets, and that was all that was in the temple at this time, or in the Ark of the Covenant this time, when they took the Ark of the Covenant in and placed it in there, guess what happened? A dark cloud filled the temple, and the priests could not continue their work because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now, what is the consistent thing between the tabernacle temple and the temple of Solomon concerning the Ark of the Covenant? If I'm correct, it's the stone tablets. What are the stone tablets? It's the Word of God, Ten Commandments. The Word of God. And when the Ark was placed in its proper position in the Holy of Holies, the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Remember, you are the temple of God. Well, the Israelites weren't very good children. They were disobedient. They became wicked and evil. They treated each other badly. They became idolatrous and adulterous. They did all these things that angered God, and they were overrun by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, most powerful man in the world at that time. And when he died, the kingdom became a Persian kingdom of Cyrus. And Nehemiah, under Cyrus, was allowed to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And under Ezra, the new temple was built, and it's in the book of Ezra. And when they laid the foundations of the temple, Some of the people had cheered and were joyous at the foundation. Others wept because those who wept had seen the glory and the splendor of the old temple. I imagine at this time they were pretty old. But as this temple was rebuilt, it had no splendor like the original temples. And it's not recorded that Ezra's temple that he rebuilt, where the glory of the Lord ever entered. And why is that? Because the Ark of the Covenant was lost. And the Word of God, the stone tablets that were in it, were no more. But in the book of Psalms, we find, because we are the temple of God, that God was looking for a time when the law of God was not written on a stone tablet or in a book or on a scroll, but was written in the hearts of men. His law would be written on their hearts. And when that law is present, the Word of God is present, the glory of the Lord lives in that Word. In the Gospel of John, I love this. I use it all the time. In the Gospel of John, the first chapter says, "In the beginning was the Word." Boy, there ought to be a clue right there that there's going to be some glory going on here. There's going to be some magnificence. The presence of God was going to be revealed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him, and nothing that has been made was made without Him. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome it. That Word, that living Word, because later it says, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if the Word of God written on the tablets of stone was in the temple and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and then in Solomon's temple, when the Ark of the Covenant containing the Word of the Lord, the Holy of Holies was filled with God's glory, then the Word that comes within our life that we hear, that we treasure, that becomes a part of who we are as Christians, when that enters our life in the person of Jesus Christ whom we accept, then the glory of the Lord fills our life. But we all know, because we celebrate at the table, that Jesus didn't remain on earth forever. In fact, He had a very short ministry, didn't He? The shortest ministry of a human being was 3 years. God's ministry was 3 years. But God's ministry has gone on since the creation of the world and will continue till heaven ends, which is never going to. That's His ministry. So when God, in the form of Jesus Christ, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, came and offered Himself as a sacrifice to atone us, because the whole system of Judaism is about atonement, about being made right and being cleansed, and redemption through Jesus Christ, that we are redeemed, we're bought back, because He has already created us. We belong to Him. The earth is the Lord, and everything in it belongs to Him. And so as Jesus was crucified, and He was buried, and then He was resurrected, and He showed Himself to people alive, and then He ascended back to the right hand of the Father, and then He had told His disciples before He left, in the 14th chapter of John, He says, "I will send the Comforter to you, who will be with you forever, and will teach you everything that I have said." You'll remember those things. "And He will guide you in all righteousness." So the question I have today, since you are the temple of God, what is it in you that brings glory or reveals the glory of God in our lives? And I'm going to suggest this morning that it's the same thing that brought glory in the Ark of the Covenant, was the Word of God. Both in Moses' tabernacle, in Solomon's temple, And the word of God was proclaimed, because what Ezra did was he recited the entire word of God to his people. Now, we're not going to be here that long today, but can you imagine how long it would take to read the entire word of God to your people? That would be a long, better bring your lunch, change your clothes, reserve a room. It takes a while. But it was that very word of God that consecrated those people, and they began to act accordingly for a time. We come to the New Testament church now. Christ has been crucified. We're past the day of Pentecost. Has God's glory been diminished? Has God's glory ever been diminished? Is God the same today as he was yesterday when the temple? And I believe that if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then his glory has not been diminished. So where does his glory reveal itself in our world today? It's revealed in the hearts of human beings who have accepted Jesus Christ, who live their life according to God's holy word. And when we do that, when we submit ourselves to God's word, then the glory of the Lord is seen by those around. It says it in the Beatitudes that we talked about today. It says, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill, I mean, that's extraordinary. You put a light on a hill, how far can you see it at night? I don't know, but a long way if there's no obstructions. Say, city, if you're the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. You don't put your light under a bushel, do you? Not if you want to see where you're going. You know, we lived in an old country house when I was a little kid, and we had that trail. You know what the trail is. And there's this little house out there. It's about a 6x6, if you're lucky. And it had this seat with a hole in it. You know what I'm talking about. But yeah, that was it. Yeah. That's where Sears and Roebuck came into existence, Jim. That's right. But you know, between the house and that little building, there was a path, wasn't there? And you wanted to see where you're going because you didn't want to misstep. The light that shines gives light to your path. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it guides us and directs us. If you're sitting on a hill, you're not hiding your light. You're letting it shine so that everybody in the house, in the world, can see the light and the glory of God that shines through us because of his word, because of his son, Jesus Christ, who is the living word. And then it says, let your light so shine before men that they, when they see your good deeds, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. When God's word is absorbed into our lives as Christians, then the glory of God is revealed by how we behave, the things we do, the things we don't do, and the way we extend ourselves towards each other. The glory of the Lord. Who am I really? Who am I really? I am an extension of the living word, those stone tablets from the mouth of God that were spoken in the living word through Jesus Christ, that becomes a part of my true DNA, my spiritual DNA, that is eternal and lasts forever. I am a temple where God resides, because that comforter that Jesus was talking about says, you know, the world won't see him because they don't know him or know anything about him. But you do, because he is with you and he will be in you forever. The glory of God resides in the hearts and the minds of people whose God's laws are written on their heart, that guides them in their thinking and in their behavior. We are not just ordinary human beings. We're not just a simple mass of cells and flesh and blood. We are the temple of God. We reflect the glory of eternal God. He lives in joy within us to reflect his glory. So in the morning, when I get up and I take that first look in the mirror, I'm not going to see my ugly face anymore. I'm going to see the glory of God because I am a part of the temple of God. And that's who we all are as a body. The temple of the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, I know that so often we underestimate who we are. I'm not talking in a prideful way at all. We underestimate who we are. We underestimate what you've done for us, in us, and through us. And Father, we know that your greatness and your goodness and your glory extends far beyond who we are. So help us. Help us to rejoice and reflect that spirit, that living spirit of your living word that resides in us, that others may see your goodness and glorify your holy name. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.